to the glory and the majesty of God's Word. Over the last two Shabbats, I shared with you both the power and the authority of God's Word and how it relates to us. The power in that the Word of Adonai is self-confirming. His Word confirms His Word and His actions also. I shared with you Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a human who lies or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. In other words, what he says is what he's going to do. So his word might be in written form, but it was first spoken. Then I had shared with you the authority of Adonai and how it had been perceived and thus used by others in relation to how it is actually given. Thus, last Shabbat, I ended my sermon in this manner. Know the authority you are under and live according to the power it provides. And then I shared with you Jude, chapter 1 and verse 24 and 25. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah, to God alone, our deliverer, through Yeshua, the Messiah, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. So this wasn't planned, because it's like I use this verse like, oh, I talked about power. I talked about authority. It's right there in front of me. His glory and his majesty. It's like, okay, I get it. It was the last verse that got me thinking this week. Yehuda, or Jude, in his rather brief yet powerful letter, where he at first points out the judgment that will come against false teachers in verses 3 and 4. Dear friends, I was busily at work writing to you about the salvation we share, when I found it necessary to write, urging you to keep contending earnestly for the faith which was once and for all passed on to God's people. For certain individuals, the ones written about long ago as being meant for this condemnation, have wormed their way in, ungodly people who pervert God's grace into a license for debauchery and disown our only Master and Lord. They wormed their way in. Reminds me of the uninvited guests to the wedding feast. They wormed their way. How did they get in here? We've heard the saying, a wolf in sheep's clothing before. They look like us. They act like us. They talk like us. But there's just that little thing. And it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a little. That they will not be spared. And then goes on to share a number of examples pertaining to those who were not spared. For as Jude continues to write, since you already know all of this, my purpose is only to remind you that Adonai, who once delivered the people from Egypt, later destroyed those who did not trust. So I'm not going to go through everything, but you already know, or you should know. If you've been here long enough, you should know the way I talk about things that are taught incorrectly. He started with the nation and the people who did not trust Adonai. He would continue with the likes of the angels, Sodom and Gomorrah, the heir of Balaam and the rebellion of Korah. Where are they today? Laying out many who transgressed against Adonai, addressing those who teach in error, Jude further conveys in verse 16, these people are grumblers and complainers. They follow their evil passions. Their mouths speak grandiosities, and they flatter others to gain advantage. In other words, simply put, they have an agenda. And they are going to cash in on that agenda regardless of what they do or who they take down with them. Then Judah pivots in his letter, offering those who read it a warning to those who have placed their trust in Yeshua. But you, dear friends, keep in mind the words spoken in advance by the emissaries to our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. They told you during the Harit Ha'ayim, during the end of days, there will be scoffers following their own godless passions. These are the people who cause divisions. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about within the body of Messiah. The world is easy to spot. They have a nice big red flag on them. It's like, stay away. Don't go there. But then it's the ones that you think are like us. They're believers. They profess the same things we do. Yet their red flag is not prominently displayed, but it's in their pocket. Or maybe in their vest, somewhere where you can't really see it. Because what do? They do as the adversary. They use the word of God, but in a deceptive manner, not as intended, lacking context. So these people, these are the people who cause divisions. They are controlled by their impulses because they don't have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in union with the Ruach HaKodesh. Thus, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for our Lord Messiah Yeshua to return to give you the mercy that leads to eternal life. Rebuke some who are disputing. Save others. Snatch them out of the fire. And to yet others show mercy, but with fear, hating even the clothes stained by their vices. We are not responsible for saving everyone. Sometimes this is the burden we place on ourselves. Thus, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for our Lord Yeshua the Messiah to give you the mercy that leads to life, rebuking some who are disputing. How do we discern the sum? Sum is not greater than the whole, but anyways, that's another story. How do we discern the sum? We don't. The Ruach does. How do we know? Trust me when I say if you have the Spirit of God residing in you and you've listened to the Spirit of God, you will know. He speaks to everyone differently. Yet it's still the same voice, still the same presence. Some who are disputing, some save, and then you'll save some others, snatching them out of the fire, and yet others show mercy, but with fear, hating even the clothes stained by their vices. So what is he saying here? He's saying remain steadfast in what you have come to believe, yet not in a passive manner. I will use this term selective. Speak God's truth to man's lies. Remember, I shared about those who perceived what they were doing was under the authority of God, when in reality they were acting upon their own authority, which was not of Adonai. I believe it is important to share this dynamic of Jude's letter, because as believers at this time in history have access to more false teachings than ever before. I have called the internet a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways, offering valuable insight into Adonai's word that is rightly divided and valuable for understanding. Then there is the other side, whereby it may sound good to the ears, yet whatever it is that is being conveyed is not valuable insight. This goes back to my message on the power that resides in God and his word. I reiterate again Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah, to God alone, our deliverer, through Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. So the glory, the majesty, the power, and the authority existed before time began. It exists within time, and it will exist outside of time when time is done. Thus I return to the opening of Jude and the last two verses where he reminds us of the one who can keep us from falling into the trap of the false teacher. It would be through his radiance, his Shekhinah, that we are to be kept. I believe Jude is providing us with an image that we are familiar with. That is the epitome and the presence of Adonai through his son Yeshua. We read in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. 6 days later, Yeshua took Kepha, Yaakov, and his brother Yochanan, and led them up to a high mountain privately. As they watched, he began to change form. His face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as light. Yeshua shone in the presence of Kepha, Yaakov, and Yochanan. He became radiant. There is a connection to the glory of Adonai in Yeshua. It should take you back to Exodus, to Shemot chapter 33, verse 18. And Moses said, I beg you to show me your glory. We're given a glimpse of what Moses is asking because he experienced it prior. At the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments on Sinai, from down below you could see Exodus 24:16. The glory of Adonai stayed on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day he called Moses out of the cloud. Moses pleaded with Adonai to show that what is revealed in his glory, his fullness, his Shekhinah, Moses pleaded with him, show me this. Exodus 33:19. I will cause all my goodness to pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce the name of Adonai. Moreover, I show favor to whomever I will, and I display mercy to whomever I will. But my face, he continued, you cannot see, because a human being cannot look at me and remain alive. Here, he said, is a place near me. Stand on the rock, small r. When my glory passes by, I will put you inside a crevice in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face is not to be seen. Adonai could not honor Moses' request at the moment, knowing that his presence could not be sustained by humans in our current state, separated from the presence, his direct presence. Again, I go back to Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a human who lies or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. He would fulfill the request of Moses when he revealed the fullness of his presence, when he revealed a face that we could all see. Matthew 17:3, then they looked and saw Moses and Eliyahu speaking with him, speaking with Yeshua. Moses was one of the witnesses to see this moment where Adonai, Father, would affirm this very promise and his fulfillment of it when he spoke. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. God did not forget about his promise to Moses. He gave him a glimpse, but not a fullness of it. No one can see the face of God and live. Yet what did Moses get? He got to see the face of God as Yeshua. The glory of Adonai revealed through his son and radiated by his Shekhinah. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. This radiance, this Shekhinah, this light, it is the light of mankind. Not only Moses and Eliyahu saw it, but Yochanan, Kepha, and Yaakov saw it as well. It was a light that they would not perish from, but be saved by. He would become the one who would radiate his light to us. Being in Maine, I'm reminded of our state's rocky shoreline and the lighthouses that populate them. He is our lighthouse, warning us of where it is unsafe for your ship to travel, keeping us safe from crashing on the rocks. In essence, the lighthouse is our rock, capital R. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Hear, O heavens, as I speak. Listen, earth, to the words from my mouth. May my teaching fall like rain. May my speech condense like dew, like light rain on blades of grass or showers on growing plants. For I will proclaim the name of Adonai. Come declare the greatness of our God. The rock, capital R. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A trustworthy God who does no wrong. He is righteous and straight. So long as his light shines, that is the lighthouse, we will always have a beacon to guide us. That beacon that guides us now has a name and a face, Yeshua. For the Word became a human being and lived with us. And we saw his Shekhinah, the Shekhinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Hebrew word, not for Shekhinah, but for that which we fully understand to be glory, is kabod or kabod, which typically means weight, splendor, a good sense in something that is glorious. Thus the glory and the honor of the Son radiates the glory and the honor of our Father, Adonai. It is this dynamic combined with what I've shared with you over the last two Shabbats that should further amplify what he has provided us. He has provided us with the treasure of the kingdom, his glory, his Shekhinah, that is to be our light now. Where there is glory with Adonai, there is majesty too. In this case, the Hebrew word is hadar, which means magnificence, splendor, beauty, majesty. And like glory, conveying his presence, hadar, further amplifies the magnitude of it. We read of such emphasis being amplified by Isaiah, and I shared these verses with you earlier today. Notice the amplification here. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, dominion will rest on his shoulders, and he will be given the name Pe'el Yo'etz, El Gibor, Avi Ad Sar Shalom. The amplification, the magnitude of who he is, a wonder of a counselor. He is mighty God. He is Father, eternity, and he is Prince of Peace. Amplifying who he is, the writer Isaiah goes on to convey, in order to extend the dominion and perpetuate the peace of the throne of the kingdom of David, to secure it and sustain it through justice and righteousness henceforth and forever. The zeal of Adonai will accomplish this. There are no human hands involved in this dynamic. There is nothing that we can do to further it. It is God himself. Yet we are his witnesses of that. The emphasis given to the prophet and thus conveyed by him as to the child that is to be born will be known by many names representing who he is. He would further convey a name that would not represent an attribute, but rather a proximity. What do I mean by a proximity? I mean something in relation to something else. Therefore, Adonai himself will give you people a sign. A young woman, a virgin, will become pregnant, bear a son, and name him Emmanuel. It's not an attribute. It's a proximity. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He in our presence and we in his. We see this very aspect after the Exodus from Egypt. In Exodus chapter 29 and verses 45 and 46, then I will live with the people of Israel and be their God. They will know that I am Adonai their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt in order to live with them. I am Adonai their God. That promise is extended through the new covenant, where he opens the door to the nations. Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. The desire of Adonai has always been to reside with his people, his creation. We're separated because of us, not him. Yet he would make known to us a time, a moed, an appointed time where he would thus reconcile us to him. Leviticus 23. Tell the people of Israel, on the 15th day of the seventh month is the feast of Sukkot for 7 days. On the first day there is to be a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of work for 7 days. You are to bring an offering made by fire. On the eighth day you are to have a holy convocation and bring an offering made by fire. It is a day of public assembly. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. So that's the instruction for Sukkot. For Adonai conveys to the nation that bears his name, you are to remember when I was with you in the desert, providing for you, guiding you, protecting you. In other words, he is saying, I was with you. This is where I desire to be, he conveys, to be with his people. In verse 41 through 43, you are to observe it as a feast to Adonai 7 days in the year. It is a permanent regulation, generation after generation. Keep it in the seventh month. You are to live in Sukkot for 7 days. Every citizen of Israel is to live in a sukkah in the land, though we try to do it here. It's a little challenging. So that generation after generation of you will know that I made the people of Israel live in Sukkot when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. In other words, he provided for them. He was with them. No matter where they traveled, I think it was 42 different places over 40 years, he was with them. Hence the memorial of this time, a time when he would reside with us once again. Not today, but 2 months ago, when during Sukkot, Adonai would dwell among his people once again. The Shekinah and the majesty would enter the world through the birth of Yeshua. For we read in Isaiah 11, but a branch will emerge from the trunk of Jesse. A shoot will grow from his roots. The spirit of Adonai will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and fearing Adonai. He will be inspired by fearing Adonai. He will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. Yeshua would dwell with us. The word of Adonai would become flesh and dwell among us. What better time than Sukkot, where God was with us? Tabernacle means to dwell with. A sukkah, you are dwelling in it. Yet where is God? He's with you. In this temporary sukkah that you are residing in, Is he not residing in your heart? Is he not living inside you? Is he not tabernacling with you? So the word of Adonai would become flesh like us and dwell among us. So let me share Psalm 29 with you in closing. Give Adonai his due, you who are godly. Give Adonai his due of glory and strength. Give Adonai the glory due his name. Worship Adonai in holy splendor. The voice of Adonai is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, Adonai over rushing waters. The voice of Adonai is power. The voice of Adonai is splendor or majesty. The voice of Adonai cracks the cedars. Adonai splinters the cedars of the Lebanon and makes the Lebanon skip like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of Adonai flashes fiery flames. The voice of Adonai rocks the desert. Adonai convulses the Kadesh desert. The voice of Adonai causes deer to give birth and strips the forest bare, while in his temple all cry glory. Adonai sits enthroned above the flood. Adonai sits enthroned as king forever. May Adonai give strength to his people. May Adonai bless his people with shalom. This glory, this majesty, this power and authority, we all have access to. We all can live by it. We all can grow in it. We can all exemplify it in such a way that we emanate the light that resides in us, his light, towards others. So know that the Shekhinah, the glory of God, was revealed to us in Messiah Yeshua, and we have an account of it. CNN and Fox News weren't there to record it. Yet, I want to challenge everyone. Let the words captured create an image for you. Let it paint a picture for you. Because God's word is very dynamic. If you can't do it, the Spirit in you can illuminate the words from the page, make them come to life, that they're three-dimensional, that they're not just words on a page, but they are active and they are alive. So keep these things in mind, that these aspects of God's word are who God is. Just as you cannot separate yourself from what you believe and who you are, God cannot separate himself either. So I want you to keep these things in mind. Embrace them. Live them. Drink them. Consume them. Over here.